Good evening. Let's come to order and go on the record, please. My name is Patrick Bufkin. I'm a staff attorney with the North Carolina Utilities Commission, and the commission has designated me as a hearing examiner for tonight's hearing. The commission now calls for hearing docket number SP5273-0 in the matter of application of Pecan Solar LLC for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to construct a 74.9 megawatt solar facility in Northampton County, North Carolina. Before we call our public witnesses, I'll make some introductory comments on the procedural background and the format for tonight's hearing. On August 24th, 2015, the Commission issued an amended certificate of public convenience and necessity to Pecan Solar LLC, whom I will refer to as the applicant, for a certificate of public convenience and necessity, which I refer to as a CPCN, for the construction of a 74.9 megawatt solar photovoltaic generating facility to be located east and west of Bethel Church Road, approximately 0.6 to 2 miles north of the intersection of Bethel Church Road and Highway 186 in an unincorporated area approximately 2 miles east of Seaboard in Northampton County, North Carolina. The applicant plans to sell the electricity generated at the facility to Virginia Electric and Power Company, Dominion North Carolina Power, or one or more wholesale or retail customers in deregulated states that allow for such sales, or into the PJM market. On July 27, 2016, the applicant filed an application for an amendment to its CPCN, stating, among other things, that the applicant has decided to add additional parcels of land to be used in the construction of the facility, and that the location has been assigned an E911 address. The applicant also filed a site plan map showing the additional parcels of land adjacent to the original project site and a proposed substation location. On July 28, 2016, the Commission issued a second amended order requiring publication of notice in response to the additional land added to the facility site. On September 23, 2016, the applicant filed another amendment to its application for a CPCN, stating, among other things, that the applicant has decided to add additional parcels of land to be used in the construction of the facility. The applicant also filed a site plan map showing the additional parcels of land adjacent to the project site. On October 3, 2016, the Commission issued a third amended order requiring publication of notice in response to the additional land added to the facility site. The third amended order requiring publication of notice required the applicant to, one, publish notice of the application in the manner required by General Statute 62-82, subsection A, and file an affidavit of publication with the Commission, and two, to mail a copy of the application and notice to the electric utility to which the applicant plans to sell and distribute the electricity, and file a signed and verified certificate of service that the application and notice have been provided to the utility. In addition, the third amended order requiring publication of notice directed the chief clerk of the commission to deliver copies of the notice to the clearinghouse coordinator of the Office of Policy and Planning of the North Carolina Department of Administration for distribution by the coordinator to state agencies having an interest in the application. On August 25, 2016, Verlene Stevenson filed a complaint in this docket. On November 2, 2016, based upon the complaint and the record in this docket, the Commission issued an order scheduling hearing and requiring public notice, setting this matter for hearing on this date, at this time, and in this place, and establishing a procedural schedule to pre-file direct expert testimony and to allow for interveners to participate in this docket. The order also required the applicant to publish notice of the hearing in the newspaper which the applicant previously published notice of the application. On November 14, 2016, The applicant filed an affidavit of publication stating that it had published the notice of hearing in the Daily Herald as required by the Commission's order scheduling hearing. On November 18, 2016, the applicant filed the direct testimony and exhibits of Doug Copeland. On November 29, 2016, the State Environmental Review Clearinghouse filed comments stating that the North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources has requested additional information prior to their concurrence with the above referenced document. Therefore, the State Environmental Review Clearinghouse requests a supplemental document providing the additional information requested by the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources to be submitted to the Clearinghouse for further review and comment. Although not present, the public staff's right to intervention and participation is recognized pursuant to General Statute 6215, subsection D, and Commission Rule R119E. No other parties have intervened in this matter. So that brings us up to the hearing before us tonight. And pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 138A, 15, subsection E, I do not have any known conflict of interest with respect to this matter. And now I call upon counsel to enter their appearances for the record, beginning with the applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Buffkin. My name is Jerron Mehta with the Troutman Sanders firm in Charlotte. I'm appearing for the applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Mehta. Let's now briefly go over the format for this hearing. The purpose of tonight's hearing is twofold. First, we're here to receive evidence in the nature of testimony from the public regarding the proposed facility and whether or not the applicant should be awarded a CPCN for this facility. Second, we're here to receive evidence from the applicant as to why it should be awarded a CPCN. The public testimony will be taken under oath and transcribed by our court reporter. What is said under oath becomes an official part of the record in this matter and will be considered when a determination is made. A final determination will not be made here tonight. The commission functions like a court. Public witnesses will have to come up and be sworn or affirmed. Additionally, counsel for the applicant and the hearing examiner will have the opportunity to ask questions based on the public testimony that you provide. Tonight's hearing is the public's opportunity to present evidence, opinions, and other thoughts on the project. However, this is not a time to ask questions of or cross-examine the applicant. There was a sign-up sheet distributed earlier for members of the public who wish to testify to sign up. I will proceed beginning with that list, and then following the completion of the list, I'll make sure there isn't anyone else here who would like to present testimony in this matter. Following the public testimony portion of the hearing, we will receive the expert testimony from the applicant in support of its application. In this matter, the applicant has filed pre-filed direct testimony. Those testifying from the public are not formal parties to this matter and will not have an opportunity to cross-examine the applicant's witness. However, the hearing examiner may ask some questions in response to the testimony provided by the public, and the applicant may choose to address new matters in its testimony that were spoken of here tonight. The applicant has also indicated that its representatives will remain in the room following tonight's hearing and be available to discuss issues or answer any questions that those in attendance may have. Additionally, the Commission's actions do not preempt any other local, state, or federal regulations or requirements. And finally, it is noted that the full contents of the docket, including the application, the letter of complaint, and once it is transcribed, the transcript of tonight's hearing, are available for public view on the Commission's website at ncuc.net. Before we begin with the public witness testimony, are there any preliminary matters we need to address?
No.
Thank you. Then I'll call the first public witness. The first name on the list is Steve Garner. Come on around. We'll have you seated here, and we will administer the oath, and then you can deliver whatever testimony you have. If you'll place your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand, Do you swear that the testimony you were about to give is the whole truth? Is the truth the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, Mr. Garner. You may proceed to give any testimony you wish at this time.
My name is Steve Garner. I live at 651 Bethel Church Road. I'm opposed to this project. I'm opposed to any project in the state of North Carolina that takes farmland away from us. We need to keep our farmland, we need to keep our wetlands, and we need to keep our forests the way they are now. We have wildlife in the area that will be done away with because of this farm. We have safety hazards in this area. I live in the big curve on Bethel Church Road. When I pull out my driveway, I have a clear sight to the next house on the left-hand side. When they bring this fence in, that will stop the clear sight for me pulling out of the driveway and for other people coming around this curve, which will make a safety hazard in our area. Wetlands should always be maintained for wildlife around here. And going by their map, they're going to be putting fences through wet areas, cutting trees down. It's going to create environmental hazards. The trees will be gone. The wind velocity will increase. The water runoff will increase. And then it's an unsightly appearance. You have a metal fence running down the side of a highway. If you drive through our state now, you see where most of them are grown up in weeds because the company who puts in the power station doesn't maintain it. And we don't need an unsightly area in our location where we live. Yeah. We need to maintain our lands in the state of North Carolina to keep them green, to keep things growing the way they should be growing, and not take away land and not make it unsightly. Plus, I believe the people I've talked to in the real estate that our property values will start to fall. I just bought the house to get out of a bad area in Ronald Crawford, North Carolina, and move out to our area where we are now. And if I'd have known that we were going to put some power company in front of it, I'd have never moved here. You know? The land needs to stay like it is, and we need to keep these people out of our county and out of our state and let them go somewhere else. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Garner. Before you step down, any questions from the applicant?
No, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Garner. The witness is excused. The second name on the list is Verlene Stevenson. Ms. Stevenson, would you like to provide some testimony for us? Thank you, Ms. Stevenson. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. And if you would begin with your full name and address for the record, please.
Verlene Stevenson, 114 Eastwood Street, Seaboard, North Carolina.
Thank you. You may proceed to give any testimony you wish at this time.
Well, first of all, I'd like to apologize for not being any more organized in my comments than I am, because I was not aware that this was the procedure for this evening. But yes, I did file a letter of complaint on this solar farm proposed project. And my main area of concern is the loss of farmland. I'm not sure how many acres of open farmland are involved in this project, but it has to be considerable if it's from the corner of 186, 2 miles down the road on both the east and the west side of Bethel Church Road. So that farmland will no longer be in production for at least 20 years. And there are other projects here in our county. I've called our zoning office and I found out that there is no limit for Northampton County on how many solar farms we can have. So conceivably, the whole county could eventually be a solar farm if people wanted it to be that way. Who is going to feed and clothe the world when all of our farmland is converted to highways and to solar farms? So that's my main concern. My second main concern is the aesthetic value of riding up and down Bethel Church Road, and for 2 miles, all you see are solar panels. I understand that there's supposed to be screening, fencing, or whatever, but still, That is not a pleasant sight to see, I don't think. Then another concern I have. We are told that solar energy is supposed to be more efficient, cleaner, better for us. Well, maybe so. But solar panels do not generate electricity 24 hours a day. However, there is a demand for electricity 24 hours a day. So, and this would be a question I would have for the solar people. Don't the power companies have to be generating power even though they're not accepting solar power during that time frame? And if they're still generating the same power they would be anyway, where is the cost savings? It seems to me that our cost of electricity could possibly even increase instead of decrease due to solar power. And I guess that's my testimony.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Stevenson. Any questions from the applicant?
No, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The witness is excused. And third on our list, is it Tony Munford? Did I get that right?
You got it right. I don't know that I got that much to add, but anybody behind?
Just one more on the list, and you're welcome. We'll just need you to get sworn in. I'm sorry.
Let him go ahead and leave.
Okay, thank you. Then the next name on the list is Lena Davis. Ms. Davis, if you'll place your left hand on the button, thank you. And do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Would you begin with your full name and address for the record, please?
Lena Davis, 1326 Bethel Church Road in Pleasant Hill.
Thank you. You may proceed with whatever testimony you'd like to give.
Well, first of all, I want to say this was kind of a surprise. This is not what I expected. I thought it would be a question and answer thing, as because there's a lot I need to know. There are more questions than I have statements. But I do have concerns about what's being planned. My major concern, of course, is the use of the farmland that sometime in the future we're going to need if we keep growing in population the way we are. And the second thing is how much woodland will be cut, how many trees will go down, and well, will the animals be able to go? And the world was built, was made to interact with everything. So the trees were very important to our environment. And we need them for oxygen and for other things. So I really would like to know more about the long-term results that or impact that it's going to have on our environment, and what will happen to the land when they are through using it. Will it be useful to farm again? Will trees grow again? And this is really not a statement, I guess, but that's my concerns. And the next thing is like the gentleman said, riding up, and Verlene said, riding up and down the road, and I'm sorry, I'm riding up and down the road and seeing just rows and rows and rows of solar panels. And I do own a home. I do not own farmland. But what kind of property values what will happen to property values with all of this on our road? So those are my concerns, and I just hope we can make everybody happy if that anything like that is possible.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Any questions from the audience?
No, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The witness is excused. And let me go back then to Mr. Munford.
Pull it out with your finger. Just lay it on your tongue.
All right, Mr. Munford. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. And if you would begin with your full name and address for the record.
Tony Wilson Mumford, 1224 Bethel Church Road, Pleasant Hill.
Thank you. Please proceed with any testimony you'd like to give.
These are my friends, neighbors. Mr. Garner is right. The curve that he's talking about, if that's fence right up to the corner, it would make a terrible, dangerous intersection. He's absolutely right on that. So that needs to be something that comes under the highway department. I'm different from these. I have consented to lease 40 acres that I can't see from my house that will be behind woodland that I've got hardwood trees planted on with another thing that I had to pray about a long time in conjunction with the federal government. Uncle Sam and I are raising hardwood trees for 15 years in partnership. I have the same concerns they do, but everything I had back there was open land, and what they would do to it would probably improve it. But I've got the same concern about those that do have trees on it, the wetlands and all that. It took a long time for me to think about it. My family lost everything they owned in 1861, and it took 79 years for us to ever have another piece of land. So it takes a long time to think about it, and it is important. But if solar works, we'll know in 25 years. If it doesn't work, we'll know in 25 years or less. And I've decided to cast my lot with trying it and hope it does work. I know that it functions fairly well hot water wise or for home use. I've talked to several people that used it and then quit because it didn't have the technology quite right. But that's just a small thing compared to generating electricity. I know that the substation is going to be close to me, but again, behind woods that I own, so I know the woodland will still be there. So I'm not in the position of these others. I will have to look at the solar panels if it's both sides of the road, which it will be in some places. And I'm just like them. I was torn, but at my age, I'm not going to farm that land. And I hope to pass it on to my children, whether they will have to put it back in farming or to stay in solar. We don't know at this time. But that's all I've got to say. If it doesn't come, I don't want anybody to think that I'm mad at anybody, because I had to go through the same thing that they did. I had to decide. So whatever comes of it, don't worry about me and my feelings, because I'm just like you. That land is important. It's seen and gone with the wind. When Charlotte's father takes out to the field and says, "This is the only thing that's important," is absolutely right. You cannot do anything without the earth.
Thank you, Mr. Mumford. Any questions for me? Thank you. The witness is excused. Is there anyone who's arrived late or didn't have an opportunity to sign up before the hearing that would like to provide testimony now? All right. Seeing none, then I hereby close the public portion of our hearing. And now turning to the applicant, Does your witness wish to offer further testimony in this matter?
Yes, I think so. So I would call Doug Copeland.
Thank you, Mr. Copeland. Come on around and be sworn in. Mr. Copeland, do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Thank you. If you would begin by stating your full name for the record, please.
Sure. Douglas Copeland.
You may proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Copeland. Could you also state your business address for the record, please?
Sure. It's 40 West Evergreen Avenue, Suite 101. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19118.
And by whom are you employed,
EDF Renewable Energy.
And in what capacity?
It's called the Regional Project Development Manager.
And on whose behalf are you testifying this evening?
The owner of the project is under a company called Pecan Solar LLC, which is wholly owned by EDF Renewable Energy. So Pecan Solar LLC.
Now, Mr. Copeland, did you cause to be filed in this docket direct testimony consisting of 9 pages and 2 exhibits?
Yes.
And do you have any corrections to the pre-filed testimony?
Yes, there's one minor correction on page 3, line 10. We said the word east, and it should be the word west. I'll speak up louder. I apologize.
Thank you. So let's back up with that question, right, please. This was a correction to the pre-filed direct testimony.
Okay. Could you just repeat the correction in the pre-filed direct testimony?
Yes. On page 3, line 10 of my testimony, the word east should be changed to west. Okay.
Typographical error.
Yes.
Probably from your lawyers.
Probably.
All right. With that correction, if I were to ask you the same questions that appear in your pre-filed testimony, would your answers be the same?
Yes.
For the hearing examiner, if I could, I'd ask that the pre-filed direct testimony of Doug Copeland, consisting of 9 pages as corrected, be entered into the record as if given orally from the stand, and that exhibits 1 and 2 to Mr. Copeland's direct testimony be identified as pre-marked.
The testimony and exhibits that Mr. Copeland has pre-filed shall be admitted to the record.
Mr. Copeland, do you have a summary of your testimony that you would like to present?
Yes.
Have, for your benefit, Mr. Buffkin, a copy as well as one for the court reporter. And there's some extras if anybody else is fine. Would you go ahead and read the summary of your testimony?
Sure. My name is Doug Copeland. I am the Regional Project Development Manager for EDF Renewable Energy, the parent company of Pecan Solar. EDF has developed almost 8 gigawatts of renewable energy generation projects across North America, which include over 1,100 megawatts of projects being built this year. In my over 10 years in the renewable energy industry, I've worked on renewable energy projects in 15 different states and have experience in wind, solar, energy storage, and offshore wind development. The purpose of my testimony is to support Pecan Solar's application to amend their Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, or CPCN, previously issued by the North Carolina Utilities Commission for the solar facility that is the subject of this proceeding. Among other things, the proposed amendments seek to add parcels of land to be used in construction of the facility. We acquired the site from GeneX earlier this year. GeneX chose the site based on proximity to power lines, interest from landowners, open land, and fairly flat topography. During our analysis of the project site, we found that to design the project to most efficiently produce electricity, additional land was needed to maximize the output while keeping the overall project nameplate size the same. We also determined that while some of the potential land in the original CPCN could be used, it was better to not use certain portions of that land to avoid impacting wetlands. While the addition of new land helps us optimize the layout of the project and avoid wetlands, it is important to note that we do not plan to build on all of the project areas covered in the proposed amended CPCN. In order to minimize disturbance to neighbors during the construction of the facility, we will follow all local permits and rules regarding construction schedules and vehicle movement. In particular, we will work to minimize the impact of traffic on local roads, use site screening measures, limit work to daylight hours when possible, and implement a notification process to adjacent landowners. Appropriate dust control and water runoff measures will also be used. Once the facility is built, we have trained field staff who monitor and maintain the project, along with 24/7 monitoring from our operations center. We will also hire locally to assist with the operations and maintenance of the facility. Northampton County considers solar to be an approved and compatible use on farmland. Pecan Solar will work with the local jurisdiction to secure any and all land use approvals and permits necessary to construct the facility on the parcels outlined in the proposed amendments. The facility will be constructed in strict accordance with all applicable laws and regulations, including any local and county zoning ordinances. In accordance with zoning requirements, the facility will be set 100 feet back from all roads and non-participating landowners, and an evergreen screen will be planted around all exterior portions of the project, unless an existing tree buffer exists. These measures will help shield the project from the sightline, including the view from Bethel Church Road. All of the land we are using for the project will be leased and returned to the landowners at the end of the project. Pecan Solar will use best practices in construction and maintenance of the facility to ensure that the productive capabilities of the land for any future agricultural activity will be maintained. The overall grading of the land will not be changed. At the end of the project lifespan, all material from the solar project is removed from site and the land is able to be farmed. The panels themselves are fully self-contained in glass and do not leak fluid or metals into the soil. The facility will be required to meet environmental standards and obtain applicable permits from the North Carolina Department of Environmental and Natural Resources, including a stormwater management permit and an erosion and sedimentation control plan. To the best of my knowledge, solar facilities as the one proposed here do not create a potential for adverse impacts to the public health or environment. The community will benefit from this facility in a number of ways. The project will provide over 190,000 megawatt hours of clean energy every year, some of which will be consumed locally. The facility will also involve significant economic development benefits in Northampton County, including the creation of 20 to 50 local construction jobs for approximately 6 months, and the addition of tax base to local governments, resulting in approximately $300,000 of additional personal property tax revenue annually. In addition, in 2007, with the enactment of Senate Bill 3, North Carolina became the first state in the southeastern United States to adopt a Renewable Energy and Energy Efficient Portfolio Standard, or REPS. As required by Senate Bill 3, by 2021, investor-owned utilities are required to meet up to 12.5% of energy needs for retail sales through renewable energy resources or energy efficiency measures. Compliance with these REPS requirements is demonstrated through the purchase of renewable energy certificates, or RECs. It is anticipated that the facility will provide over 190,000 RECs annually for use by electric power suppliers to comply with their REPS obligations. In addition, the facility will promote the various objectives of Senate Bill 3, including 1, diversifying the resources used to meet the energy needs of North Carolina consumers, 2, providing greater energy security through the use of indigenous resources, and 3, encouraging private investment in renewable energy. For these reasons, it is my recommendation that the Commission issue an order amending the CPCN for the facility.
And Mr. Buffkin, just before, in case you have any questions, but before you get there, I would like for Mr. Copeland just to address very briefly the late comments received from the clearinghouse, if that's all right with you.
Certainly, please proceed.
Mr. Copeland, have you reviewed the comments that were received on November 29th from the State Clearinghouse?
Yes.
And in this particular filing, the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources makes some comments relating to a historic period home and a cemetery that are reported to be located on one of the parcels in the site plan. Is that correct?
Yes.
How does Pecan Solar plan to address these comments?
We plan to engage an archaeologist probably next week to locate the home site and cemetery so as we can avoid disturbing these during construction. The department has already determined the project as proposed will not have an effect on any historic structures. If the gravesite is located inside the project boundary, we will be sure to provide access to descendants and others who wish to visit. Once we receive a report from the archaeologist, we will send the requested information to the department and clearinghouse and will file this information with the commission.
Mr. Buffkin, Mr. Copeland is available for questions.
Thank you. I have just a few. We've heard from the public witnesses their concern about the taking out of service of farmland and potential impact on wetlands near the project site or within the project parcel. And related to that, the removal of trees in the nature of the forest land that's currently existing. Based on your experience developing projects similar to this and your plans for the project in this matter, what impacts do you anticipate on, and to what extent will farmland, wetlands, or forest land be impacted by the project?
We'll start with farmland, since that's the simplest. So the farmland that's there right now, most of it will have solar panels on it. At the conclusion of the project, we're obligated to remove all the equipment, at which point the land is turned back over to the landowners to be farmed. As I said in my testimony, there's very little grading done on the site, and while the project is in operations, there's no pesticides applied to the fields. It's mowed two or three times a year, and so once the equipment is removed, the landowners are free to till it and begin farming again if they wish. For the forest lands, there are a portion of the site, I do not remember exactly what percentage of the project area, that is forest, primarily plantation pine, that will be cleared in some instances. In other instances, it's left. The timber that's cleared, the landowners view that timber as a crop, and we're planning on clearing it anyway, and so that will come out for the project, and we'll use that land for solar. At, again, the conclusion of the project, they would be free to replant it with crops or with trees, which again qualifies as a crop for those landowners. The wetlands is a very important one to us, which is why we've actually gone and secured some additional land for the project, is we wanted to make sure that we were avoiding the wetlands beyond what is just typically required. We as a company have a host of best management practices that have how we design and operate our projects. And so in order to avoid running fences through wetlands or impacting them in any way, we have this additional land that folks have included in the projects through leases, and so that way we will avoid all the wetlands on the site.
Could you give us an estimate of how much percentage-wise of the parcel area within the project is wetlands?
Very little, because we've actually designed the project to be around the wetlands. So there's no wetlands that fall inside of the boundaries of the fence that I'm aware of. There might be a small area, and in that case, we would just not build on it. But the largest wetlands that are on the site, we basically are just avoiding them. So they wouldn't be part of the project kind of footprint.
All right. Well, let's look further out in the future, and something we heard from the public witnesses, and you mentioned in your testimony, is the end of the project's life and the so-called decommissioning of the project. Can you tell us a little bit more about that process? What's left on the land after the project has ended and the equipment has been removed, or is there anything that's not removed?
Everything is removed from the project. The county ordinance requires us to put up a surety bond. So in the event that Pecan Solar LLC is bankrupt or does not fulfill their obligation, there's actually financial security that the county has in place so that they could remove the racking system, which is what holds the panels themselves, and all the associated equipment. At that point, once the project is out, there would be the remnants of the roads, but those are going to be, I would assume if someone wanted to farm it, just tilled over and incorporated back into the farmland.
So they would be gravel roads then, I guess, not asphalt?
No, not asphalt roads, no.
Thank you.
No, the one thing I do want folks to understand is that there's not anything added. The panels themselves, of course, are not permeable, but the land is left so that it can still absorb water as it has been.
We heard a couple witnesses testify tonight about the related issues of setbacks and screening around the projects. In particular, the concerns about the proximity to a curve in Bethel Church Road. Can you give us a illustration of what the screening looks about like, how large the setbacks are, including the height of the shrubbery that's included in the screening?
Sure. I'm very familiar with this curve, not as familiar as the neighbors, but I've been on the site many times. I drove that curve today. I grew up in the country and have a curve very similar like that near my house, and very aware that if you start to put a wall up tight on that curve, it's going to be a big safety issue. So the setback from the county is 100 feet, so that means that the fence for the project is set back 100 feet from the road, and then the screening is in front of that. And I mention that for two reasons. One is that's important from an aesthetic standpoint, but the other is that on that curve especially, we will make sure to design it in a way that the trees are as close to the fence as possible so that there is still a very big line of sight there, because I do understand that folks drive too fast around that curve and that you need to have as much visibility as possible. If there is an instance where when the site plan or when the project is in the final design stages that it does appear there's going to be an issue, we have a construction manager who would look to work with landowners that perhaps there's some mirrors or some other ways of mitigating it, but I think that we should be able to design it well enough from the start that with the project setbacks that we're not impacting the very important safety sight lines that exist right now.
Okay, and how about the, there's an evergreen screening around the project, is that correct?
Yes.
And what kind of shrubs are we talking about, or perhaps they're trees, and how tall do they get at maturity?
The county has some very specific requirements about the height of the trees when they start, when they are at maturity, and they're pine trees. So they're going to probably after 20 or 30 years, I defer to folks who know more about trees than I do, but they're probably going to be at least 20 feet tall for the most part. And again, we have an obligation to put trees in that will fill in and fully screen the project, and that would include that if one was to die, that it would be replaced with something of you know, kind of equal size to keep that screening intact.
Thank you. And you've mentioned several times county zoning requirements. Is the applicant committed to meeting all of the applicable zoning requirements by the county?
Absolutely.
Thank you. And then my final question relates to a concern that a number of public witnesses raised related to property values. Based on your experience in developing projects like this and your expectation of what this project will look like, can you forecast any impact on property values of adjoining properties?
Not in this area. I have not seen a study that has shown that solar projects or renewable projects in general have a negative impact on property values, but we have not done something exactly for this site.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have. Does the applicant have any questions in the nature of redirect?
I think the only question I had relates to one of the public witnesses indicated that the solar energy is intermittent, and that the concern was that the cost of electricity may increase, not decrease. And if you have anything to add or say about that, that would be great.
Sure. This is a great question, and one that I get asked many times, including by my family at Thanksgiving. Solar energy is producing power during peak demand times of day. So during the day, especially during the summer, you have air conditioners firing up at both home and at work, or offices and other kind of buildings. And so solar typically is producing power at what the utilities consider peak time. It's the most expensive time. We as consumers pay an average price on our power bill. Some larger industrial customers might pay a rate that's adjusted with the hour, but for the average kind of homeowner, you're paying a price per kilowatt hour that the utility calculates as the average of power at midnight when it's very cheap because there's really not a lot of consumers versus noon when there are a lot. So solar is producing power during the time that it's most expensive and actually decreasing the cost of power because there's no fuel cost. The utilities bid it in at $0. Solar does not produce all the time during the day, but the solar is producing power on a very large electrical system called PJM. And PJM is, in essence, the air traffic controller for all the utilities in this corner of North Carolina, all of Virginia, running up all the way through Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Ohio. And so that intermittency is managed constantly throughout that system based upon demand and supply throughout the day. On days where it's raining and there's still a lot of demand, or during certain times, maybe at 6 or 7 at night when solar production is dropping and there still might be high demand on a very hot summer night, there's certain types of power plants called peakers. A peaker plant just produces power during peak times. And peakers are very expensive to run and only run anywhere from 50 to maybe 200 hours a year. And solar actually prevents those peakers from running, which keeps power prices down. And then if there's times that solar's not running, or there isn't solar, the peakers run and still produce power. So it's not that there's always the same amount of power being produced. The power being produced fluctuates as demand fluctuates, and solar is able to displace very expensive types and oftentimes very dirty sources of power.
Thank you. Anything further?
Sir.
All right, then that concludes the evidentiary hearing. The commission notes that although not present, Mr. Copeland, you're excused. Thank you. The commission notes that although not present, the public staff has expressed an interest in providing a recommendation to the commission on this application. So with that in mind, I'll request the public staff to file its recommendation regarding the application within 2 weeks of the transcript of this hearing being made available. And Mr. Mehta, can we have proposed orders within 30 days after the transcript is made available?
That would be great.
Thank you. And again, for the public that's here, I'll remind you that the applicant's representatives have expressed an interest in staying a little late tonight to talk with you and answer any questions you might have. Any other questions before we adjourn tonight's hearing? All right, seeing none, we stand adjourned pending commission orders.